Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Stevie Nicol. Later on in the show, Rodrigo Fai will be here from Madrid to give us all the latest from the fallout of those pictures of Eden Hazard on the pitch celebrating with the Chelsea players after Real Madrid's elimination from the Champions League. We kick off, though, by welcoming Don Hutchinson and Shaka Hislop to the show as we'll talk about the Europa League. The lineup is set. It will be Manchester United against Villarreal in the final. Villarreal beating Arsenal 2-1, of course, in the first leg. It was 0-0 at the Emirates, so it will be La Liga side who will advance to the final to face Manchester United. Don, how bad were Arsenal today?
They were awful. The first 45 minutes was terrible, Dan. For a side that's trying to make a Europa League final, there was no aggression about them, there was no real endeavour, there was no pace, there was no getting around the pitch. It was all really slow and pedestrian. Then, all right, I thought they had a decent go in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, but that was just desperation. They were way off. I thought over the two legs, I thought they would have went through. I thought they'd be too pacey for Villarreal. They were naive in the first leg. He tried to be too smart, too clever. Mikel Arteta playing a false nine. Tonight, his substitutions were awful. He took Aubameyang off with 10 minutes to go and brought Lacazette on. Why not play the pair? Willian came on, had no effect whatsoever. Then he brought Eddie Nketiah on the 90th minute for 3 or 4 minutes of the game. So, all in all, Villarreal totally deserved to go through.
How do you explain this, Stevie? Semi-final of the Europa League, your only chance to get into the Champions League, and you come out and you put in that turgid performance?
I'm afraid you have to look at the manager. You know, the fact that Don said it, other than a little flurry with 10 or 15 minutes to go at the end, really?
Yeah.
In such a big game. I'm sorry. We can say that players have to motivate themselves and when they're on the field, they have to get going and it's their responsibility. But I tell you what, before the game, the manager should have been down the throat, every single one of them, winding them up, making sure they knew how important this game was, making sure they knew how important it was to start the game war, making sure they knew how important it was to put pressure on Villarreal. None of those things happened till 15 minutes to go, as Don said. I mean, that has to be down to Arteta and his coaching staff.
It's not a bad team, Shaq. When you look at the qualities, a lot of expensive players there. Aubameyang, Pepe, Thomas Partey, of course, Saka, up-and-coming English attacker. A lot of excitement around him. But there was just nothing from Arsenal's perspective to get even a little excited about today.
You're absolutely right, Don. On paper, this is not a bad team. The issue is everybody in that squad, with maybe the exception of Saka and Smith Rowe, are having arguably the worst seasons of their career. And as a result, what you have is an Arsenal team who are languishing mid-table in the Premier League, who go out against Villarreal, a team that themselves, by comparison or by expectation, aren't doing as well in La Liga as you would expect. Yet, over 180 minutes, I don't think anybody can contest that Villarreal were by far the better of the two teams. But if you're Mikel Arteta, you're probably saying, or you're probably trying to convince your board, that we were one goal away from going through to the Europa League final. Wow. And Aubameyang hit the post twice. That's how close we came. That's how much improvement we are. Yet, in truth, there is nothing about not just this game, not just this Europa League semi-final, but this entire season, that you really that proud about?
Don, if this was Unai Emery, he'd be gone. Why isn't Arteta gone?
He would be. I think they'll try and give him the end of the season, Dan, to be honest. I don't think Arsenal will go through another manager so quickly. They might try and cling on to something. I don't know what, because the performances are not there. They're not really keeping clean sheets. They're not winning the biggest games. They're languishing. And maybe I got fooled when I thought they'd go through over Villarreal because they're a big club and they've got good players. Maybe I got fooled into thinking they are a top six club. Well, they're not. They're competing with the likes of Aston Villa and the teams in and around 8th, 9th and 10th. That's where Arsenal are. And if they're still there at the start of next season, I think he might be gone. But I think they'll give him the end of this season, pre-season, and then the very start of the season.
What's going to change, John? Nothing's going to change between now and the end of the season, in the summer.
Well, we don't know.
So what do you do? Let him bring in the players that he wants, gives him a couple of games, and then you're stuck with players that maybe the new manager doesn't want to deal with?
Well, that's the age-old problem, isn't it? When you fire managers, that's always been the case. It'll never go away. When you sack a manager, he brings players in, new manager comes in.
I suppose, Don, the point is, it's the first time that Arsenal haven't qualified for any European competition for 26 years. What have we seen from Arteta to suggest that he can take this club in the right direction?
Well, early on, I thought there was a plan there when I saw him play really defensive football and play counter-attacking football and they won the FA Cup and won the Community Shield. I thought there was something there. I thought there was something there when they beat the big sides, they beat Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, to win the Cups and win the Community Shield. So I thought there was a genuine plan. I'm not seeing it of late. I've not really seen it all season. So I understand the frustration of Arsenal fans and they make clamour for a change. I totally get that. And Mikel Arteta is massively, massively under pressure. I still think maybe they might give him a summer window and find out how they actually start next season. If they start poorly, I think they'll be gone.
If I'm on the board, this is a real tough decision, because if you give him till the start of next season, you know, you'd have to think, well, you have to give him some sort of chance to bring in players. But if I'm on the board, I'm thinking, well, hold on a second. We've brought in some players.
Yeah.
You brought in what seemed to be a decent move, bringing in Velian because of his experience, because you've got a lot of young players. But it seems like he's
Look at Thomas Partey. You spent all the money on him.
And that's my next port of call. Thomas Partey, I thought, would be fantastic.
Yeah.
For the last two or three seasons, we've spoken about how in the middle of the park, they've had no guts, no drive, no real players. And then they go and buy him and you think, oh, I like that. This looks good. Well, you know what? He looks like an Arsenal player now. A bang average Arsenal player from the last two or three seasons ago. Even he hasn't had an influence. Yeah. So if I'm the board, I'm thinking, do we give this guy the money?
I don't know why you would, Shaq.
And right now it's hard to make that case for Mikel Arteta. I think one of the big asks for Arteta in becoming Arsenal manager is what to do with Mesut Ozil. Finally, he got Ozil off his books. I think that was weighing Arsenal down in many respects, certainly in terms of their transfer policy. And now, at least with Ozil off his books, maybe he can do a little bit more in the transfer market. I'm with Don here, though. As disappointing as this season has ended, I still think that Arteta gets his start of next season. Maybe gets until October, November, see how things are shaping up then. If it's more of the same, and I understand the concern that there's no real signs of change, but if come November it's more of the same, I think you bring somebody in to get to know the squad and then give them a January transfer window to try and make the team their own. But I think Arteta stays for the time being at least.
Wow. Seems crazy. You're giving someone, this is his first job, where clearly he's struggling compared to Unai Emery, who's got such a big resume. Well, of course, Unai Emery will be taking Villarreal to the Europa League final. They go into it as underdogs against Manchester United. United losing in Rome, but it didn't matter, of course, after the result in the first leg. What a Europa League final it's going to be. One for the ages. United and Villarreal have met four times in the past, all in the Champions League, and every single time it finished 0-0. Don, who would you like to give your kiss of death to here?
Manchester United. I can't see anything other than a Man United win. I really can't. I still think a really good Arsenal side should have beat Villarreal, even though I'm taking nothing away from Villarreal. But surely United with Cavani and Pogba and Donny van der Beek and Greenwood and all the talented players.
Donny van der Beek?
Surely they've got too much.
He didn't get in that list.
Well, he started tonight. I went a little bit heavy with Donny van der Beek. But you get my point. All those attacking players. Surely they've got too much for Villarreal. Surely.
What with Chicharito?
You get my point. All the attacking players.
Stevie.
You can't go against Manchester United.
Right.
At the same time, I like Villarreal's chances over Arsenal's chances, to be honest.
Right.
Because Villarreal are very consistent. They keep a good shape. You know, I think the problem is going to be scoring goals, to be honest. But they're pretty solid. As I said, they've got a good shape. But that's about it. Whereas United have got all the firepower with the likes of Donny van der Beek.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Shaq? Van der Beek very much the difference between these two sides?
Without a question, when you have Van der Beek on one side and no Van der Beek on the other, you can only go one way. It's got to be Manchester United here. Listen, we had a discussion about Manchester City and their preparation for the final, having secured the title. I think Manchester United find themselves in a similar scenario here. Comfortably in second place, they'll be playing Champions League football. Villarreal still trying to secure European football themselves to their league position. And I think in this very odd season, having that luxury to rest and rotate before the European final, as it does with City, I think plays into Manchester United's hands. I think United win the final.
How foolish are you three going to look if Donny van der Beek scores in the final?
Hey, I'll have that bet with you, Don, right now. Don't you worry about that. So then, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer making it through to the final, of course. He's had a miserable record during his time as coach of United in the semis, but he has finally made it through to a final, which will take place at the end of the month.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
They're the images that have been seen around the world. Eden Hazard, after Real Madrid's defeat against Chelsea, on the pitch, celebrating with Zuma after the full-time whistle. It has enraged a lot of Real Madrid fans. Eden Hazard took to social media and said today, "I'm sorry. I've read lots of opinions about me today, and it was not my intention to offend the Real Madrid fans. It has always been my dream to play for Real Madrid, and I came here to win. The season is not over, and together we must now battle for La Liga. A la Madrid." Well, Don and Shaq is still with us. We welcome Rodrigo Fai as well, who joins us from Madrid. Rodrigo, you've been writing about this over the last 24 hours. He's apologised. It's all forgotten now, I imagine, in Spain, isn't it?
Well, supposedly everything is forgotten, but, you know, Real Madrid fans are still in anger with Eden Hazard, because those images right after Real Madrid was knocked out of the Champions League by Chelsea are something that maybe Real Madrid fans are not going to forget quite easy. I mean, even in the club, you know, everyone is in anger with Hazard. Maybe, you know, people from the board, people from inside the club, and, of course, even teammates that forced him to post something like we said before in his social networks, because, you know, it's something that Real Madrid cannot accept. You know, a player that right after Real Madrid is knocked out by Chelsea in the Champions League, laughing and joking with some rivals on the pitch of Stamford Bridge is something that Real Madrid never has seen before.
Stevie, you said before we went to air that you don't quite see it as a big deal as other people do.
No, not at all. Listen, up until the mid-90s, You never had anything to do with the opposition, whether it was before the game or pretty much after the game. But that has all changed a long, long time ago. Every single weekend, every single game, regardless of what it is, or whether it's a final, a semi, you name it, all we see is players hugging each other, saying hello from the opposition. They're old mates. It's just old hat. Now, it looks bad that he's smiling.
Right.
But you know what? He's just talking to a guy who clearly was a good mate. And if I'm walking at a good mate of mine, I pull something up from the past that we enjoyed together. So, does it look good? No. But come on, you have got far bigger problems. Real Madrid have got far bigger problems with a team without just trying to put the blame on Hazard and make him some sort of scapegoat. There's way more things that are more important than just him getting caught laughing.
Don, do you have as much sympathy for Hazard as Stevie does?
Sorry, Dan, I was stunned when I watched the images last night, having commentated on the game. And I was you know, I was looking at the reactions of Toni Kroos, Luka Modric, and they were in tears in the middle of the park. And then I saw Eden Hazard laughing and joking with a couple of ex-teammates. I thought that wasn't the right place and the timing was awful. And I thought it was unprofessional. Then if Stevie thinks it's not unprofessional, then fair enough, I might give him that. But then you take the emotion into it.
I never said it was not
unprofessional. Surely he's got to have a little bit more about him than laughing on the pitch at Stamford Bridge when Real Madrid, one of the biggest clubs in the world, have just been dumped out the Champions League semi-final. There's a time and a place for that. You can go down the tunnel, you can go in a players bar, you can do whatever you like, but not in the middle of the pitch.
I never said it wasn't unprofessional. I just said that it doesn't look good. But you telling me this is the first time it's ever happened for it with anybody? I don't think so. And by the way, I know you well enough to know that you would have been a carry-on with some of your old players coming off the field after a game. And considering...
Not like that, Stevie.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
like that,
exactly.
Mate.
So
Not like that, mate. I would have been in tears. No. I've seen the rashes.
Do you know what?
They've
just got knocked
tonight.
Out. They just got battered. And we're talking about a guy who's gone back to a place where he had so much success, had so many friends, and somebody's probably thrown a little funny at him that from the past that made them laugh. And we're trying to villainize, make this guy into a villain. In fact, the guy shouldn't have been on the field. How about we ask Zidane why he was playing? Never mind trying to blame him for smiling or having a bit of fun with
his mate. I don't think anyone's saying he's a villain, but come on, Stevie, it doesn't look good. I mean, he's not been fit for a start. He's out of shape.
I said it doesn't look good, but what's all of a sudden it's his fault. Everything's his fault because he smiled. Yeah, right.
Well, no, that's not his fault, but it might just tell you something about his character. You know, when Real Madrid had Cristiano Ronaldo and many, many others, their character has been all about being a winner. That might just tell us something that we didn't already know, by the way, about Eden Hazard. He's quite happy being on the fringes. He doesn't really want to sit at the top table with the world's best. He's not that type of player. He's
but did you question, his attitude when he was at Chelsea?
I didn't see them laughing and joking when they got knocked out of the semi-final.
Oh, so because he gets caught laughing, all of a sudden he's got a bad temperament or he's got a suspicious character.
I'm not saying his temperament's bad. I'm saying his temperament is quite laid back. Now, Ronaldo would have been in tears. Ronaldo's not laid back. He's a winner. He wants to win. Where what I'm trying to say is about Eden Hazard, maybe he will never, ever, ever get to that level because of his character and because he's so laid back. And he hasn't got the drive to be one of the best players in the world. Talent-wise, he should be sitting up there with Neymar and Mbappe and Kevin De Bruyne and one or two others. I'm not so sure he'll get to that level because of his temperament, because he's laid back.
I don't think there's too many players that got bought for 100 million that have ever been accused of having a dodgy temperament.
Rodrigo, what are the pundits saying? What are the ex-players saying in Spain?
Well, they're slagging off Hazard because of what you're saying. I mean, well, we said before that it's not the image that Real Madrid wants to communicate to the whole world because it's nothing that every player has done before. And secondly, because you could be very laid back, you could be funny, you could be very, very close to the people, very close to your ex-teammates such as Hazard. But the thing on Hazard is that he coached 2 years ago more than 100 million of euros. He did nothing in 2 years. He's been more than 10 times injured. I mean, and the times when he was on the pitch in these past 2 years, he did nothing. He did nothing at the level he's supposed to be. So that's why everyone here in Spain is completely in anger with him and the ex-players too, because they consider that Real Madrid, that Zidane, and even the teammates of Hazard have been waiting for him, having been very, very patient and very calm, trying to wait for him to be at the level that everyone thinks he should be at. And the thing is that Hazard has never been at that level. And apart from that, you see, once you get knocked out of the Champions League, that he's laughing, he's joking with his teammates from Chelsea. I mean, it's not nothing serious.
Rodrigo, if this was, say, for example, Sergio Ramos joking with an opponent player after this, the fallout wouldn't be the same, would it?
No. If Sergio Ramos had been that, I mean, he would be killed now for everyone in Spain. The thing is that, I mean, Hazard, we could see that he has very good image, but the thing of the difference in between Hazard or Sergio Ramos is that Spanish people, we never saw how Hazard could play. And that's the thing. I mean, for us, Hazard is just a great, great player at Chelsea or the Belgian national team, but not here in Madrid. I mean, we never see him play. So that's why it's something very different. And because of one main thing, Sergio Ramos or Cristiano Ronaldo or Thibaut Courtois or maybe Benzema, I mean, they never had something like that. never would do the what Hazard said or did.
Shaka?
I just don't get it. I don't get what's going through Eden Hazard's mind in doing this. Listen, on the one hand, Stevie is saying that this incident doesn't make Eden Hazard a villain. And he's right. But Eden Hazard is towing that villain line at Real Madrid. And he's towing it because of his own fault, his own doing. He's the one after that £100 million move who showed up overweight. He's the one who struggled to find fitness. He's the one who has been a bit part player and then finally given his opportunity at his former club by Zinedine Zidane, did nothing with the 88 minutes that he was on the park. So you're already kind of towing this villain line with the Real Madrid fans, and that's how you react. I just don't get the tone deafness from Eden Hazard around this incident. And while Stevie may be right in saying the game has gone to a point now where ex-players and ex-teammates laugh and joke, listen, I've never played in a Champions League final, but I've played against former clubs and former teammates in league games in November and lost. And I have never felt that easy about laughing with them immediately after the game. And again, this is a totally different stakes. I don't understand what motivates Eden Hazard, what makes him that comfortable to do that, given everything about his 2 years in Madrid.
Rodrigo, the one positive you could say for Eden Hazard at the moment is at least there are no fans in the stadiums.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's lucky for that, because right now people in Madrid are really in anger with him. They have a monumental anger on Hazard, because they don't understand why, for example, Zidane has been defending him for more than 1 year and a half. Why Real Madrid as a club have defended Eden Hazard, you know, right after more than 1 year and a half without doing nothing. You know, everyone is saying like, okay, you've been very bad lucky on the way that you've been suffering more than 10 injuries in these 2 years, but please, okay, don't smile, don't laugh, don't joke with your teammates that just knock you out of the Champions League. So that's why everyone is in anger with him. And even there are some kind of rumors in the last hour saying that maybe after this episode, Hazard would be on sale in this summer, because, I mean, what Real Madrid invested in is something that Real Madrid is not going to get back. So, I mean, it's only a rumor right now at the moment, but we have to see it till summer if Hazard is going to be on sale for the summer transfer window.
You know, it does seem as though I'm defending Hazard, but I would suggest to people that when you're brought off the field maybe, what, 10, 15 minutes before the end of a game, you go from there to there. So by the time he goes and speaks with his mates, he has calmed down, all that nervous energy is gone, he's sort of in a normal place. He's not like a player who, when the final whistle goes, is frustrated, is still up there. He's not in that state of mind. Again, seems like I'm defending him.
Well, you are.
But it's a good reason for him, because he has calmed down and he's now at like a normal state, like a normal person.
89th minute he was subbed out, Stevie.
I'm telling you, you go from there to there. He's totally calm. You see it in his face. That's one of the reasons why he's laughing. He's completely calmed down. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows the route. He's been sat there, and that's why he's in the sort of mental state he is.
Shaka, your face suggests that maybe you don't buy what Stevie's selling.
No, I don't buy at all. I don't care. I don't care if he came off in the 89th minute or the 45th minute. I don't care if he didn't play at all, in all honesty. Your club that you're representing just got knocked out. And for goodness sake, just recognize the situation. Eden Hazard has been in football a very long time. Just recognize the situation. I don't understand how we're trying to explain this. I really don't.
It's worse. The fact that Stevie said he come off the pitch and he had a chance to calm down. Well, it's actually worse that he's had the foresight to then think, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll laugh and joke with some of my ex-teammates. That's worse to me.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's worse, Stevie. If you're saying he came off the pitch...
I'm going to have a laugh and joke.
Well, he did. You can't deny the pictures and the images.
Rodrigo, you mentioned the fact that now there are rumours swirling that maybe Real Madrid looking to sell him. Who on earth is going to buy Eden Hazard?
I think it's something impossible. That's why I say that it's going to be very, very tough for Real Madrid to get rid of Hazard, because, first of all, because of the money that they invested on Hazard, and secondly, because who is going to buy a 30-year-old guy that has been apart from the fields in the past 2 years? You know, everyone is wondering why, or maybe the amount that any club in Europe could pay for Hazard is something that now at the moment is very, very, very difficult. And returning to the images that you are talking about, one of the Hazard teammates at Real Madrid locker room tonight told me that you have the same answer in the same image. You got Hazard joking and laughing with Zuma and with Mendy, but on the second half of the image, you have Courtois, who was playing several years for Chelsea, and he is talking normally with the rest of the or with the former teammate that he had. You know, not laughing, not joking. You know, that's the main difference that everyone, even in the locker room of Real Madrid, are talking about. Like, okay, you have to follow the example of Courtois, not the example of Eden Hazard.
Let's not pretend that Real Madrid are out of the Champions League solely because of Eden Hazard laughing after the game. They were shocking over those two legs against Chelsea, Rodrigo. What happens to Zinedine Zidane going forward?
Well, about Zidane, everyone is saying or wondering what he's going to do about, you know, once he finished the season. What we have been telling him on ESPN during the whole season is that he's going to wait till the season is over at the end of May, and he's going to sit down with Florentino Perez, trying to know what the plans of Real Madrid for him are and what the plans for Zidane and Real Madrid are going to be. You know, the first target of Zinedine Zidane is trying to go to the league, because you know he's only 2 points away from Atletico Madrid, and he's confident. He and the squad are confident on they winning the Liga trophy at the end of the May. So. You know, once they try to fight for La Liga, we will know what Zidane is going to do from this season.
Is there any way that there could be some redemption for Hazard at Madrid, and he could be there next season leading them to more Champions League glory?
For me, the only thing that could they could make Hazard, you know, turn in this situation is, okay, play 10 games in a row and be the MVP of each of these games. If not, I think Real Madrid never going to forgive this image.
Rodrigo, thank you very much. More about Hazard, Zinedine Zidane and Real Madrid against Sevilla at the weekend, plus Barca against Atleti on tomorrow's show. Sid Lowe will be with us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Despite a good run of form leading up to the Champions League semi-final, Christian Pulisic found himself on the bench for that big game against Real Madrid. Afterwards, he said, "I'm very frustrated. I've had to continue to prove myself over and over again." At Stamford Bridge for that game was Julian Laron. Obviously, you were there as well, Don. Has Pulisic got to work harder to win over coaches than other players?
I don't see why he should. I think he's a terrific talent. I think he's not the only one at Stamford Bridge. So I think Hakim Ziyech looks frustrated in the last couple of weeks. Tammy Abraham's not even made the match day squad in you know, some of the games recently. Hudson-Odoi's not really making the first 11 either. So I just think it's the way Thomas Tuchel manages. If you're performing well, like Kai Havertz has been performing well of late, you'll get in his side. If you're not, you're going to have to be patient.
And but Pulisic was playing well, wasn't he, Don? He was a key part of the draw that they got at Valdebebas.
No, I agree. I just think it's how he sees the game. I think, you know, if you're playing well, you'd like to think you keep the shirt, but I don't think that's Thomas Tuchel's way. I think he sees the opposition and he sees a plan. And I don't know why he doesn't fit in. Obviously, they know each other from their Borussia Dortmund days. And I thought when Thomas Tuchel come through the door, I thought he'd be great for Christian Pulisic. But obviously by that statement there, he's obviously feeling frustrated.
He said ahead of the game, didn't he, Stevie, about dropping Pulisic, that he wanted Havertz to add a little more height in both attack and defence. Yep. Obviously, I think Pulisic coming out and saying he's frustrated, that's normal, yeah?
Absolutely normal, yeah. You know, you would question him if he wasn't frustrated not starting in a big game like this. You know, as far as saying he's got to prove himself over and over again, the truth is, the best players, every time they step on the field, whether it's training or whether it's games, they're constantly proving themselves. Mm. I understand what he's talking about as far as the manager, but he has to realise that Tommy Tuchel picks a team to beat the opposition. He doesn't just pick what he thinks his best 11 is. He picks a team, and sometimes, for a reason like the height with Havertz, that's why Pulisic wouldn't play. He has to get a balance between being disappointed he's not playing and understand why he's not playing.
And then he came on, obviously made an impact, setting up Mount for the second goal, Jules.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant when he came on. It's probably easier when the whole Real Madrid defence have been running a lot, and then you come in, and especially with Pulisic, he's so quick over the first 2-3 yards, and he took them on, and I think he could easily have had even more impact with probably a goal and another assist if he'd played one or two other opportunities in a better way. But he took his assist really well, I thought. The cross from Mount, the finish from Mount as well, and it's good. And he of course, he would have to prove. I think all that squad has to prove to Thomas Tuchel that they deserve to play, because there's so much quality in that squad. But I think it's the same for everyone, not just him.
Meanwhile, let's give Thomas Tuchel some love, shall we? An incredible impact he has made since taking over at Chelsea. I remember a number of people questioned whether or not he should be the man to be put in charge. Frank Lampard, obviously a big favourite of the club. I think, I'm not picking on you, Dom, but I think maybe you're one of them who said that they should have stuck with Lampard.
Yeah, because I just thought it was raw. I thought he got a hard deal at the time, and the sacking, I thought, came a little bit early. But what you have to say, the job that Thomas Tuchel's done has been incredible. You know, working from the back with 18 clean sheets, they look defensively solid. I think the older players, I'll still stand by some of those older players like Rudiger, like Jorginho, like Alonso, didn't help Frank. And maybe that's a learning curve for Frank, that he alienated some experienced players maybe a little bit too early. But Thomas Tuchel's got them all on board. They're a team when they're keeping clean sheets. You can see them high-fiving each other. It really matters. The amount of work rate that they're doing every single game, the performance levels have been strong. And as you mentioned before, Dan, there's some serious competition for places. That can only be a good thing.
What's interesting, Stevie, is that if Tuchel struggled a little bit, people are supporting him, would have said, look, you just need to give him a couple of transfer windows, a pre-season to work with his team to really get his ideas across. He's kind of thrown that analogy completely out of the window, this whole you need time with a team. He's come in and had just such an instant impact.
Well, I think he's benefited from the time that the team spent together under Frank.
Right.
Unfortunately for Frank, they were struggling. And because it's Chelsea, they don't give you a lot of time. And then Frank's out the door. So I think he's benefited from that. But you also have to say, because those people you were talking about, I was one of them.
Yeah.
I thought they'd made a mistake. Can't argue with that. I used to be in the camp of, OK, you've set them out defensively and you've got them in a good shape. What can you do going forward? Well, the fact is, this team, in my opinion, looks as though it's getting better and better going forward. And when you're asking for time as a coach and you're given time as a coach, you have to use it well. It looks like he's done all of those things.
Jules, what are they making of his success in Paris?
It's a very interesting debate because, of course, as we know, PSG got knocked out and Tuchel made it. He's the first manager ever to reach two Champions League finals in a row with two different clubs. And I don't think there's a bit of jealousy there. Or even I don't think at the club they feel like we should have kept him, or it's some sort of revenge or anything like this. It's more like, clearly, his time at PSG came to an end for different reasons, and maybe in 2 years' time we'll be saying the same about him at Chelsea, like we said about him at Dortmund too. We don't know, but certainly I think some are happy for him and for Thiago Silva, and others feel that maybe there was better for him to do in Paris, had the dressing room be more receptive, maybe had him be a bit more smooth in the way he was dealing with people above him at the club, for example, and some of the things that he said on record and publicly to criticize the owners or the sporting director. And maybe Tuchel could have dealt with that a bit better, but certainly even in Paris, people say what an incredible achievement and what an incredible 4 months he's had at Chelsea.
I'm glad you're here, Jules, because I was a bit disappointed, I've got to be honest, with the Gavin Jules podcast, not for the normal reasons, but for the fact that there was no crying, there was no real emotion from you with PSG getting knocked out in such a horrible manner. You almost just seemed to succumb to the fact, the inevitable, that they were going to lose.
No, that's not true. Well, you want me to cry now? Because I'm
disappointed that they got knocked out. I want tears, Jules. I want tears.
We want to see some suffering in here. Come on, get on with it. Hurry up.
And I want you to be like Stevie when they say they got no shepherd's pie left.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. To be fair, when I saw the hailstorm and when I saw that Kylian Mbappe wasn't playing, on Tuesday night, my day had already been rubbish, and I thought this is not for us.
No.
And despite some good stuff, I thought they did some good things during the two legs. But clearly, I think a lot of things went City's way, and they probably deserve it. But when you've got a shot that deflects onto a defender onto the path of Riyad Mahrez, that helps you. And when on the other hand, a good header from Marquinhos hit the bar, then I think you realised what kind of game is it going to be. And he was one of those. There's no shame losing to this City team in the semi-final of the Champions League for the second time in a row. But when you're so close to the final, it's obviously heartbreaking to lose anyway.
It's quite something, isn't it, Jules? Shaka, to hear Jules putting up less of a fight than his team did.
Yeah, no, it's quite interesting to hear Jules rewrite history. I thought for a moment their PSG won and went through thanks to that brilliant Marquinhos header. But listen, in all honesty, PSG only have themselves to blame, especially after you see that first 45 and then that capitulation in the second half of the first leg. And then in the second, Manchester City were just the better of the two teams. PSG didn't have a lot of luck go their way, but you know, what can I say? Jules, it's heartbreaking, but I don't know what else to say, Jules.
Is that the last time we're going to see Kylian Mbappe in a PSG shirt in the Champions League, Jules?
You behave. You should behave. I think you should behave first, yeah.
Too late now. Too late now to come out fighting, Jules.
I don't know. Of course, it doesn't help that you lose in the semi-final and Kylian can look at City and say, I want to play for a team like this where the collective strength is much stronger than what he has in Paris. Of course, he can also look at it and say, OK, it's final 1 year, semi-final the following year. Again, there's no shame into losing at that stage against a team like that. I think he's still very much a 50-50 up in the air. He will decide. It's a real shame, I think, that he was not fit to play at all in that second leg. And certainly it would have been a different story and City might still have qualified even if Kylian had played. But it was hard to take for PSG to see that he could not play. But I don't know. I don't know where his head at if he thinks that they're not good enough for him, if he feels that maybe Ligue 1 is not good enough for him and he wants to go to bigger leagues and bigger clubs, which is fine. But I think the most important right now is he will have to make a decision quickly now because this can't drag on for much longer. Even for PSG's sake, they need to know, he needs to know, and he also needs to see who can pay the money now to go and get him because, again, that's not a given.
So PSG out. We know your English team is Arsenal. You're at the game today. We've discussed it a lot already in the show. That must have been fun for you as well, Jules.
Oh, my God. I mean, in the first 45 minutes, it looked like a game that us, ESPN, could have had. You know, I could see Stevie in the middle of, you know, at the back. I can see Xhaka in goal. It's probably the same pace that Arsenal played in that first half. It was a disgrace.
Right. Should Arteta be sacked, Jules?
How long do we have? I mean, yes and no. I think he still has this bit of credit. And I said to him, I saw him after the game, I said, is this a failure? Is this season a failure? Do you think this is a failure? Have you failed? And he said, the answer was yes. He said, we're not where we want to be and where we should be. And I think that's quite fair. But I think he has to take a lot of responsibility for how bad this season has gone. He made mistakes. The first leg against Villarreal, I still don't understand the tactics. This first half tonight in that second leg, I don't understand either the formation or the tactics or the intention even. And that's on him. Of course, they've had injuries, COVID, malaria, anything you want, like every other team. And that's certainly not an excuse. I would give him a bit more time, but next season, he will have to hit the ground running pretty quickly.
Apart from that, it's been a good week, Jules. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available. I know I haven't sold it very well, but be sure to go and check it out over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here it is then, Shaka's latest power rankings.
And best. Don't forget best, Dan.
Okay, go on.
Number 10, PSG.
Terrible.
Beaten but not humiliated by the world's best team. Hint, hint. Ajax, Rangers, Sporting Club. They're flying in Portugal. Atletico Madrid. I was a little bit uncertain about them, but they're getting at 6. Lille top in France. The Italian champions at 4. European finalists in Manchester United, Chelsea, and Manchester City make up the top 3. There can be no, and I mean no arguing about this week's top 10.
Tom's face.
I just get stunned every single week. Shaka, there's only 2 teams in that top 10 that actually won the league. Rangers and Inter, and one's 4th and one's 8th. They've both won the leagues.
Is there a point here?
Well, yeah. How are they not 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 or a little bit higher than 4th and 8th?
Because they did nothing in European football. That's why.
What did PSG do?
All in European competition
what
still.
What did PSG do in European football? Oh, they lost.
They lost to the best team in the world right now, in my opinion.
So, Shaka, you're obviously giving a lot to European football. So where's Villarreal?
Mm-hmm. They're not in.
Yes.
Why?
Why?
They're what, 7th in Spain? 6th, 7th in Spain?
Right.
I'm sorry, that's... If Arsenal had gotten through against Villarreal, Arsenal wouldn't be in either.
Right.
So you can't be that desperate in your league. You can't.
But Chelsea being 4th is enough to see them 2nd.
Yes.
Right. All right.
That's right.
Shaka, Rangers, Glasgow Rangers, I know I harp on about Rangers every single week. They're close to hitting 100 points.
Oh, they play in Scotland, John. That doesn't count.
I don't care, but they should be higher than 8th. Surely.
It's really hard to argue with something that just doesn't make any sense from top to bottom.
No, it really doesn't.
It makes total sense.
doesn't make any sense. You're coming up with Europe matters, but it doesn't matter because PSG got beat.
Yeah.
But where you are in the league matters, but then you've got teams that are nowhere near the top of the league.
And
you've got teams that have actually won the league that are near the bottom of the top 10.
How can you make an argument?
How do you figure that out?
How can you make a European argument for Inter, who finished fourth in the Champions League group? They haven't played any European football this year. How can you make a European argument for Glasgow Rangers, who are doing well in Scotland, but they got knocked out in Europa League, what, two rounds ago?
PSG just got knocked out.
How you put them
so
up
how
against
PSG? In the top 10 in the world, if they just got knocked out, if this European stuff's so important?
Because at least they're doing well in their domestic leagues. But you can't
well done.
They've got a budget of about
400 million more than every other
Europe
team, and they're not top of the league.
That with Rangers.
That's how well they're doing domestically.
You can't counter what PSG are doing and counter that with Rangers. You can't. It's a non-comparison.
Who claps like
PSG
that?
PSG should be 25
points. That's a weird way to clap.
It's a sarcastic clap.
Nobody claps like that.
Well, it's because it's sarcasm. Do you know what that is?
Oh, you definitely know what that is.
I've never seen anybody clap like that before.
Well, I would start off, Shaq,
and think, right, who's invincible in their league?
Oh, God.
Who's invincible?
Right, that's enough. That's it. We're done. Just a reminder, you can check out former Power Rankings over on our YouTube channel. And much better stuff is there also.
What do you mean?
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. But stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Stevie, of course, with me. Don and Shaka as well, answering your tweets. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie is here, as is Shaka Hislop, and it's the first time I've probably had to chat to you, Don. Halfway Hutchinson, after your claim.
Hey.
Now, Stevie, this is great. I know you wouldn't have known about this, no. So let me tell you all about it. We asked Don for his best ever goal, and he said, just inside the halfway line against Leeds. Right. So, obviously, we looked on YouTube. Is this just inside the halfway line? It's a lovely goal, no doubt about it. Here it comes.
What? Is that five-a-side field? That's about 30 yards.
And the best thing is that I've just looked at some of the YouTube comments on it. I've met many people like Don in my life who have scenarios in their head far greater than reality.
Maybe what they did was they put one goal on the halfway line,
right,
and then the other goal where it should be.
Oh, like in training.
And then you're halfway.
Just let me have a little bit of credit, will you? I'm getting a little bit older. Yeah. I'm getting a little bit older. Add a few more yards on.
Yeah, let's lay off Don for a moment, shall we? Don, how about giving 0% to Chelsea for making it to the finals? Chelsea fans deserve an apology.
Did I say zero?
He said 0% chance that Chelsea would make it to the final. During Extra Time a couple of weeks ago.
Mustn't have been against Real Madrid. It must have been quarters-ish. I wouldn't have said that against Real Madrid.
No, you did, Don.
I wouldn't have done. It might have been from the game before.
Right.
I'm sorry, Chelsea fans. I'm sorry.
Oh, poor Don.
He's apologised.
That's big of you, Don. Very big of you.
Right.
Hey, who's hated more in Madrid, Gareth Bale or Eden Hazard? Wow, what do you reckon, Shaq?
Right now, Eden Hazard, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Who would have thought?
I mean, that takes some doing.
Yeah.
That takes some doing to surpass Gareth Bale that quickly.
Shaka, how big of a Celtics fan are you? I didn't know you were into your NBA.
Yes, I'm very much into my basketball. Dan, I nearly called you Don again there, Dan.
Oh, that's okay.
You've seen me play basketball, Dan.
Who's been like your top three? Who's been your top three Celtics players this season?
Oh, the whole team, Dan.
Oh, really?
I'm a team. I'm all about team. Go team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about this, Stevie? Which team is better? Manchester City without De Bruyne or Chelsea without Kante?
Ooh.
let's twist it. No, who does it hurt more? Who does it hurt more not having one of those players?
Well, it hurts Chelsea because, listen, if you don't have De Bruyne, and they didn't have De Bruyne, then Gundogan stepped in and was scoring goals. So I guess the answer would have to be Kante.
Okay. Don, another question for you. What percentage of goals in your career did you score from 40 yards out?
Same as Chelsea, getting to the final. Yeah.
Let me just add a few yards on, man. It's tickled you that, Dan, isn't it?
Yeah, because I don't know why you lie. It's such a good goal.
I didn't lie. I thought in my mind's eye, I was right next to the dugout, and the dugouts are normally on the halfway line.
Right.
So give or take 5 yards.
He lied. He lied and then said, look it up on YouTube.
Yes.
I'm still claiming it. Yeah. I'm still claiming it.
No, that's it. Let's keep going. Pile on. Can the guy see Stevie G, using Don's lingo, of course, coming to the Premier League to coach Spurs? What do you think, Don?
What do you mean, Don's lingo?
Because you call him Stevie G.
Oh, sorry.
Because he's your pal.
To coach Spurs. I think he's waiting for the Liverpool job. I think just leave him at Rangers, let him win another title. Just when the time's right, I think he'll come back to Liverpool. Why would you take Spurs? Ain't going to get anywhere with Spurs. Harry Kane will be off by the time he goes there. Son might be off by the time he potentially goes there. Don't see that fit.
You know, there's one thing about football, right, that very rarely happens. Everything that you think or want to happen happens.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's just about an opportunity comes from nowhere. A bit like, that's why Frank Lampard got the Chelsea game. This is an opportunity that came from nowhere. And is Gerrard going to get the chance to be Liverpool manager from nowhere?
Well, he's going to get it when Klopp leaves, isn't he? That's pretty much set.
Why?
Because it's Steven Gerrard, because of his success at Rangers.
No. So hold on a second. Frank Lampard got slaughtered because he'd only had coached at Derby County in the Championship.
Yes.
Which is a way higher level than Scottish football.
Right.
So why would Steven Gerrard, coaching Rangers, put him in line to move up to Liverpool? I don't think that's the
romance.
Case.
Romance, Stevie.
Well, not all romances turn out very well, Dan, do they?
No, they don't.
Derby job's not a bigger job than Rangers, Stevie.
I think you might know.
Don't bring up Don's divorce again.
The Derby job's not bigger than Rangers, Stevie.
No, you're talking about a different class of football. You're talking about a one-team league that he's playing in. Do you think... Listen, forget everyone, right? Do you think managing Rangers in the Scottish League sets you up to be Liverpool manager? Seriously?
Well, yeah. Yeah, Graham Souness done it.
By the way, did you see the teams at Graham Souness? Graham Souness's teams were full of superstars. They were all at the top of the game. Have you seen the players that Steven Gerrard's working? All of a sudden, he's going to have to deal with superstars at Liverpool. And anyway, you cannot go from Glasgow Rangers right now the way it is to Liverpool. You can't.
I think
that doesn't set you up. What sets you up for Liverpool being the manager in Scotland? Please tell me.
Well, the style that he's won the title in, they could be invincible. The job
style.
That he's done.
What are you talking?
What was Celtic on?
Don't get started. Have you watched them playing?
I have. But what have
you
watched?
I'll tell you what. Did you watch the biggest game in Scottish football this year? Rangers Celtic. Not one of them could pass the ball to each other more than three times without losing it.
But don't you look at Stevie G's character and the way he handles himself, that he could not do the Liverpool job? I'm not saying he could be ridiculously successful, but I'm saying he could do an amazing job.
So it's not ridiculously successful, it's just amazing.
Well, I don't know. I've not got a crystal ball, have I? I'm not
Don,
sure.
Stop picking on Don.
It doesn't set you up. Managing in Scottish football, I don't care who you are. Managing Scottish football doesn't set you up to be the Liverpool manager.
But where would Liverpool go after Klopp? Surely it would be Stevie G, wouldn't it?
Well, Peter, so you're telling me that you would have Stevie G, who spent 3 years in Scotland, over the likes of, what do you call him, left Juventus, who's waiting on everybody? What's his name again? Come on, Dan.
Allegri.
Somebody like Allegri. So you're telling me that Stevie G would be better than somebody like Allegri? He's got all the experience in the world. I mean, Jurgen Klopp got the Liverpool job because he won the Bundesliga over Bayern Munich. He had Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League final. You know, what's Stevie G going to say? Well, I had Rangers in the Scottish FA Cup final and we won the Scottish Premiership. I mean, it's not the same, is it?
John, just you mentioned Frank Lampard quite a bit. How is he?
Frank? I've left him alone, Dan. I've been respectful. I've left him alone.
How do you think he is, Don?
I think he's OK, but seeing Chelsea go through last night might sting a little bit.
Yeah, how do you feel, Stevie, like, if that's your former club and the success? Like, we know that he's very much a Chelsea man, but it's rubbing it in a little bit that they've made it through to the Champions League final after sacking you.
Well, it's the wee guy up there.
Right.
And then there's the other wee guy
like the
over
cartoons,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Right.
Frank will be sitting going, and then he'll be like, oh, it's Chelsea. The last <Yeah. point." laughs> And the other wee guy will go, hey, don't you get cad, don't get soft on me.
Right.
And he'll be like, I know you're right, man.
Yeah.
You know you're right.
Yep.
It's a real tough one.
This is like you, shall I have another beer tonight?
No, I just, there's this one guy.
Yeah, it's just
I've just got one guy there going, on you go, son.
Xhaka, if Pep fails to beat Chelsea in the Champions League finals, will this season be considered a failure?
Failure maybe is a strong word, but it'll still be a disappointment, even if they win the league, if they don't win the Champions League.
It'll just be remembered because they lost the final.
Right.
Even though they won the Premier League. So, fail's the wrong word.
Yeah.
It will be remembered.
Yeah.
Only because they lost the final.
Ah. We had this word yesterday and some interesting pronunciations. It has been tweeted to us quite a bit today. Don, just read the word. Just read this tweet.
I can't see that. What's that say? I can't see what that says, Dan. My eyes can't see it.
OK, Stevie, you read it.
Hyperbole.
Pardon?
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
Hyperbole.
Hyperbole. Would you say hyperbole, Don?
I think so. Hyperbole.
Yeah. Hyperbole?
I think.
No.
Well, hyperbole. Is that how you spell it?
Yeah, hyperbole, yeah.
I would suggest that sounds the right pronunciation, but a bit off the bat you say hyperbole.
Yeah. And who would win
a
fight?
What does hyperbole mean?
Who would win in a fight between Dan and Sebi? Sebi all day.
Sebi.
So scrappy.
Sebi.
He would just, yeah.
Scrappy do, isn't he?
Can you imagine the punches it'd be throwing? They'd be like, ah.
Why would I throw punches like that?
Just in my head, that's what you're dead.
How long will Mourinho last at Roma and how much will his final payout be when he's dismissed, Don?
Oh, my days. He's just going to get millions again, isn't he? How long? I don't know. I've not got a crystal ball a year, a season.
What about your boy Di Canio, Shaq?
What about him?
Did you see the comments that he made about Mourinho?
Yeah. I saw the comments. I have no problem with anything he said. I like the fact that he came out and said, I don't care that it was made public. I'm not apologizing. I've got nothing to apologize for. He's absolutely right.
Just remind us what he said, Shaq.
He said Mourinho is past it, pretty much, that he likened him to Roma signing players late in their career. Now they're signing managers late in their career when they're past it. That was kind of the gist of it.
Paulo should be happy though, right? Because he's a Lazio boy. No? Paulo's a Lazio man, so he should be delighted.
Yes.
Because their rivals are Roma, right?
Yes.
So he should be quite happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who knows? Who knows what's going on in his head? Shaka, Are you looking to get air conditioning for your home with the weather starting to heat up, or will you sweat through your shirt like last year? There's a lot of sweating last year, Shaq, from your house.
Yeah, it was tough last year. I've got some portable air conditioning units.
They're so really loud though, Shaq.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
That'll be a challenge. We'll see.
Yeah. Don, you don't have those.
That's
problems.
A no, by the way.
Okay. Final question. What's more likely to happen? Don to eat a cheeseburger or Stevie to eat a shepherd's pie with corn in it?
Ooh. Tell you what.
What? Sounds nice, that.
Stevie.
No chance.
No?
I'm going to offer Stevie no eating way. A no, shepherd's Stevie's pie
saying,
with corn.
He's saying no.
What's wrong with corn?
He hates it.
Completely and utterly wasted.
Can you even taste it?
Sweet corn.
Of course you can taste it.
Is it sweet corn?
Yep.
Yeah.
Look at Don's face. Lovely.
I think, what are you I think just you water. Can have not sweet corn pie, and a shepherd's pie and Chevy and Stevie won't notice.
I think so.
There's something that the mince and the corn together gives off a horrible taste.
What sort of taste?
A horrible taste, one that I do not like.
So you wouldn't, would you eat a shepherd's pie but then leave like a child?
No.
The sweet corn on one side, like pick it all out?
No, because it's ruined the whole thing.
Because it's touched the meat?
Correct.
Wow.
All the juices and all the stuff that comes off has all infiltrated the mince.
How much would I have?
It's just water, isn't it? Sweet corn's just water.
How much would I say? So $20. Would you do it for eats a shepherd's pie?
Well, they're nothing. $20.
You wouldn't?
Get what? $20.
$20.
No chance.
No.
No.
$30.
Nope.
He'd do it for $20 worth of beer, though.
Yeah.
Not even. Not even.
$100. You would.
$200.
$200.
I would do it for $200.
Here we go. Don, would you eat a cheeseburger for $199?
Yep.
Yep. How low will you go?
I was going to go for 20. If you had to come to me for 20, I was still going to say yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Good stuff. Thank you very much, guys. ESPN SC is back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be looking ahead to those big games in La Liga.